In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God by a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible in God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from him. After this, Mary went to visit Elizabeth to see if Gabriel, the angel, had told her the truth. And lo and behold, Elizabeth was pregnant. And when the baby kicked Elizabeth in the gut, Mary knew that Gabriel had told her the truth. She too would become pregnant and carry the Son of God. In her poem, which we heard earlier, the Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker tells us, "Mary is you carrying God in your body. You are carrying God in your body. And you, and you, and you." Each one of us carries God, carries Jesus, carries the Spirit of life, that which is most holy, divine. We carry stardust. We carry vibrating atoms. "We are the dwelling place," she says. "We are the vessel of the holy. We are the eyes, ears, noses, fingers, tongues, and lungs of the holy. Each of us is like the astronaut who turned and looked out the window on the spaceship Apollo 8 and saw the blue-green earth rise, surrounded by vast black space. I have heard that that moment shifted the consciousness of life on Earth. I have heard, and maybe some of you have experienced this yourselves, that those who watched that moment on television recognized that they were witnessing something that had never been seen before. As someone who grew up alongside this image, the impact of the moment is lessened, but the awe and the wonder is still fierce. Through his eyes, the astronaut William Anders became the Earth, seeing Earth self for the very first time. The Earth incarnate. We house God like the astronaut housed Earth, so that God may walk among us. God can know what it means to be, so that we can know what it means to be one with the holy, to be holy ourselves. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to attend a retreat at the Unitarian Universalist camp in Roe, Massachusetts. Roe is basically out in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by lovely mountains. This was the perfect place for a retreat named Sounding the Unsayable, where one of the exercises involved making sounds like the Hindu sound for the original and eternal vibration of the universe. Om. In pairs, we practiced sounding together, and we found that we could influence the sounds of our partner. We resonated together. You and I resonate together in this sanctuary. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how the organ works in this space, but telling you about the organ is not the same as knowing the organ in your body through experiencing the organ. The organ is built in such a way that we, the congregation, become a vital part of the instrument. The sanctuary and our bodies sitting in pews are the resonator of the organ. The artist who is still creating this instrument built it specifically for this space and this people. We are the bag of a bagpipe of the organ. When Eric or our guest organist Joyce plays the organ, we are played. The music vibrates within each one of us and through us. And like I experienced at the retreat, we resonate with each other. We know the music. We are the music. Music incarnate. The scholar of Jesus, Marcus Borg, in his book, The God We Never Knew, shares the work of a Jewish scholar, Martin Buber, who wrote that the name of God shared with Moses from the burning bush should be translated as, I will be present as I will be present. From that, Marcus Borg proposes, God's name suggests that God is the presence who is present in every now and every here. God is present in the every now and the every here. Later, he adds, the stories about Moses' experiences of the sacred, the call stories of the prophets, the story of Jesus, all speak of people who knew the sacred. For them, sacred is an element of experience, not simply an article of belief. While the sacred is present in the every now and every here, we don't always remember and we don't always notice. However, the experiences of being music or seeing earth rise are both moments in time when we may know the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. This knowing the interdependent web, knowing the holy, knowing the sacred, is knowing God in every now and every here. This is knowing God incarnate. For God is in us, and we are in God. Or if you prefer, this is knowing the universe. For the universe is in us, and we are in the universe. Not separate, but one. One web, one ocean, one all. We are all animate beings and inanimate objects, like waves in an ocean, like waves settling back into an ocean. All that we know will settle back into molecules, atoms, and elements. Christmas time is a time when some of us may turn our attention to celebrating the metaphorical birth of Jesus, of God becoming human. This is a time when we remember that all life is sacred. Later in the story of Jesus, after he grows up, witnesses inequalities in people's lives, in an effort to create a more just society, he will tell us to love our neighbors as ourselves. However, it is during this season that we may remind ourselves that we can only fulfill his commandment while we are incarnate, while we are here in these bodies. We celebrate Jesus' birth as a reminder to live into beloved community. This almost Christmas time does not always feel celebratory, especially for those of us whose family members and friends have died or whose relationships have broken. Sometimes it is not easy to approach the winter holidays knowing that someone you care for deeply has been diagnosed with a terminal disease. And often the second year is worse than the first, because your friends and coworkers might expect you to be over it by now. But you and I know we are not over it. Know that you are not alone in your grief. Take courage in knowing that each one of us may be suffering right now. Have faith that even though the pain may be barely bearable, and you may have lost your ability to hope, have faith that eventually you will come through. This community is here for you. The pastoral lay ministers are here. Your ministers and staff are here. There are meals frozen downstairs that you may ask for. And the shawl ministry can offer you the physicality and warmth of a handmade shawl to pull tightly around you. Wrapping a handmade shawl around shoulders is what it means to be incarnate, embodied warmth. Each one of us knows what it is to be wrapped in a blanket and held, and we know what it is to wrap another in a blanket and hold them. The feel of a warm shawl resonates comfort through us. Rebecca Parker tells us, Joseph is sheltering God in the world. Joseph is the shawl. And remember the words from our responsive reading, comforting me and all people, the shadows now dispersed. There is strength here, like the sinew of a mother's arm. In her book, An Altar in the World, Barbara Brown Taylor speaks to this resonating experience. She writes, however differently you and I might conceive the world, God, or one another, physical reality is something we can usually agree on. When the temperature drops below 32 degrees, I am as cold as whoever happens to be standing next to me. Taylor shares a second example. When I see someone run into a piece of furniture, catching the corner of a table right in the thigh, my own thigh hurts in the exact same place. She continues, my body is what connects me to all of these other people. Wearing my skin is not a solitary practice, but one that brings me into communion with all of these other embodied souls. It is what we have most in common with each other. This common experience, the shared physical reality, reaches through the boundaries of our physical skin, the largest organ of the human body. This common experience reaches through the hedges and fences that we build around our yards. It reaches across town lines and national borders. When I see someone run into a piece of furniture, catching the corner of the table right in the thigh, my own thigh hurts in the exact same place. And when I see someone weeping in grief, screaming in terror, yelping in pain, flipping over tables in the temple because of inequality, injustice, and oppression, I know those in my body too. and we know the resonance of a yawn, of laughter, of joy, of celebration. In an age of information overload, writes Barbara, the last thing any of us needs is more information about God. We need the practice of incarnation, by which God saves the lives of those whose intellectual ascent has turned dry to dust, who have run frighteningly low on the bread of life, and who are dying to know more God in their bodies. Not more about God, more God. More God is the work of Christmas. More God is the work of all of the stories that tell of liberation. And it is the question that Rebecca Parker asks in her poem, "Now, how will you live?" How will you live knowing that your body is the home of God? How will you live knowing that every body is the home of God? How will you live knowing that all of life is sacred? This is the work of Christmas. We do the work of Christmas when we strive to ease the suffering of all beings. You did Christmas when you voted to install solar panels on the roof. You do Christmas when you fund individual panels, buy Secret Santa gifts, and donate coats to those who ask. You do Christmas when you take steps towards nonviolent ways of eating. It is learning to place the needs of the group before the wants of the individual. It is seeing the holy in the other, in your neighbor, and yourself. It is knowing in your heart the Hindu greeting, Namaste. The God in me greets the God in you. The holy in me sees the holy in you. Christmas calls us year-round to step out of our default setting and unconscious belief that we are each the center of the world. When I experience boredom, frustration, crowdedness, and a grumbling disdain that things are not going the way I want them, I have slipped back into selfishness, where I am the center, where my immediate needs are more important than anyone else's. It is hard work to remember to see the holy all around. This is the work of Christmas. This is what it means to be incarnate. Look out. See the holy. Know the divine. Tear down the empire that wants you to turn the other way. May it be so. Amen.